The quarter past 7 million and the quarter past 8 million. And he speaks in Petah Tikva. He's got a shop in Petah Tikva, furniture shop. Some of you may know him. But we're not going to use him for furniture. We're going to use the brain.
He gives us the Bar Torah
on Wednesday night in Renana, and he gives shirim all over the place. I don't know if you speak. Dori mentioned about your visit to Cologne. Would you?
Yes, I would. I can mention it. I'll mention it. Because it's a very interesting experience.
Yes, I don't take any more time. That is, and
it's okay. Okay. Boker tov lekulam. Good morning. My English, as you understand, is not exactly my mamelushin. I speak Hebrew. I was born in Israel, but I'm married to a wife who is from England. So, and as a little kid, I used to also speak German, which helped me with the English. And we'll come to German in a minute because I had a very interesting experience 2 weeks ago on an exhibition in Cologne in Germany. I'm going to try and talk about a little Tehillim, Emuna, and things like this that are in the book, or the Rashal Hirsch explains it very nicely. He puts things, let's say, takes them from up there to here, to our daily life, and very clear and very interesting. And also Parashat Shavua, because this is my issue. I always talk about Parashat Shavua. And we'll try a little to go into the Kuzari about, again, belief, Emuna. And we'll start with a personal story, as I said, to connect everybody together, because that's the main thing we have to do. We have to connect. Unfortunately, when we look around, we are not so connected with each other. And this is the main job that we have to work on. We have to try and connect. That's the basic of everything. 2 weeks ago, I've been in an exhibition in Germany, in Cologne. As you heard, I deal with furniture, and the biggest ever furniture exhibition is in Cologne, the most important one. And every year I go there to the exhibition, and my experience is that it's got nothing to do with the exhibition, but with the Jewish community in Cologne in Germany. I always try to be near a shul and to daven wherever I go to, and also, of course, in Cologne, Germany, I try to be near the shul, and I daven there shachrit, and also, Baruch Hashem, in the last few years, they have also mincha and maariv. So I'm standing there after shachrit, and they have this small room where they have a small breakfast after shachrit. And somebody asking me, please give us a short Dvar Torah. Now, how does it come to this idea that me giving a Dvar Torah? Because in the evening, I gave a Dvar Torah, a shiur, to a group of Israeli that live in Germany for many, 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 many years. And also last year I gave them a shiur. It was very interesting because they are not religious at all. And let's say the idea that meeting once a week and having a shiur in Parashat Shavua is also very interesting. And it was quite an experience. But I'm not talking about this. So he's asking me, give it Dvar Torah. So I'm giving the Dvar Torah. But of course, you know, half of the people understand the Hebrew and half of them don't understand what I'm talking about. And it's not English. It's German. So I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? Now, as I said, my parents are from Germany, and our family lived in Germany for hundreds of years. From the Gerusstraat, from the Spanish explosion. And as we know, what happened in the Nazi Germany, my whole family had to move from Germany. Part of them stayed and have been killed by the Nazis, with, as we know, millions of other Jewish. And I'm standing in the shul over there, and they're asking me to give a Dvar Torah to translate it to German. So I knew German as a little kid because my parents and my Oma used to talk with me only German because he didn't know a word in Hebrew. But it's not German of giving a Dvar Torah. It's German of a daily life here and there, and I didn't use it for many years. Maybe here and there for a sentence or two, and now give a Dvar Torah. But, as we say in the parasha, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. Says Rashi, what's the meaning lifneihem? You put it in front of them, a prepared meal. In other words, you don't put the vegetables. You put a tomato and a cucumber and an onion and you cut it and make a salad out of it. No. You do the salad and you give them to eat with a spoon. That's what you have to do. So I said, okay, German is not my language, but if I say Dvar Torah and I want people to understand, I have to try and do my best in order, how we say in Hebrew, Ala Chaim Ve'Ala Mavet. Says Kodesh Baruch Hu, help me, give me Siyata Dishmaya. So I started talking and it's very hard, it's not easy. And people help me, because there are some people that know German and English, so they help me. For example, I was talking about Lo Nacham Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim. God didn't take them through the Palestine war because it's close, and we're not going to go to the explanation, but he took them through the desert. Now, how do you say desert in German? You know? I didn't know. Didn't remember. It says Wüste. Okay, so now you know how you say in German desert. Wüste. Wüste is the word in German for desert. And I'm going on, and I finished. Baruch Hashem asked, did you understand anything I said? He says, yes, it was very nice, very good. The same evening, the guy said, you're still here, you give another Dvar Torah. And now it went a little better, because when you start talking the language, it comes to you easier. Still, of course, I needed the help of the congregation to help me with translating certain words. But I'm standing there and thinking to myself, Ribono Shel Olam, this is unbelievable. This is closing a circle. This is like connecting to my father, to my grandparents that have been in Germany for many years and were sent away and killed. And who knows? My grandfather had a medal from the First World War from the German army, a medal. But it didn't help him at the next war. And I felt the connection with the generations before. And I felt like a piece of the chain that is connecting the generation that the next generation. The feeling was unbelievable. Am Israel Chai. Nobody ever, never will be successful in destroying the Jewish nation. Am Israel Chai Vekayam. And the biggest victory is for me, standing in a shul in Germany, giving a Dvar Torah in German. And I think that this was one of my highlights in the last 10 years. The feeling was unbelievable. And this is what Am Yisrael is. We see, we look around, it's not easy. Things sometimes don't look so nice to us. The world hates us. And we don't understand really why, because the only thing we want is peace. But still, when we look around, maybe we are the only one who look for peace. People are being murdered all over the world, slaughtered, and tortured. And nobody cares. But we that live in this small, small country here, everybody is dealing with it. And if we do something that is the only thing that we do is defend ourselves from murderers that's going in our streets. We are the wrong. We are the bad people. And we all know all what the people say all over the world, even our friends. But, as I said, it doesn't matter. As long as we believe in God, and we know that we are Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai, and eventually we will get to the point that the Geula will come, and it's very close. So I want to start and translate one of the beautiful Mizmorim of the Tehillim with a beautiful explanation of the Rashar Hirsch. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, by the way, was also originally from Germany, and he was his all explanations are built on the problem that they had in those times, that people were going and mingled with the Goyim, because everything was open, and Germany was the first that gave the Jews the free opportunity to do whatever they want to. So they went to a university and here and there. Sorry? Yes. Of course. That's why he had the shul. This is called My Father Went There. Shimshon Raphael Hirsch Real Shul. It was a shul that what you call today Yeshiva Tichonit. It's the same thing, same structure. They learned Torah, and they learned also science and all the other stuff. Or what you call today Yeshiva University. The idea was the Rashar Hirsch. He's the first one. Everybody was against him from the ultra-Orthodox field. But today you can find his books, by the way, everywhere. even those who talked against him, let's say years ago, today his books are everywhere. And on this surrounding, he is really giving us the beautiful explanation that, first of all, lets us understand that it doesn't matter how long we are from Matan Torah and how advanced is the world. The Torah is more advanced than anything. And when you connect to the Torah, you connect to daily life, to every day. And that's, by the way I try to give my drashot on the Parashat Shavua, to connect ourselves to what's happening today. Because the Torah talks to us and explains to us what are we going to do today, not 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago. Says the Mizmor, Tfilah le David. Oh, sorry, I'm going to go to the other one. L'menatzeach livnei Korach Mizmor. I'm not going to explain everything because I want to go to, there's a beautiful pasuk here that I want to go into it a little more. Perek pei hei. Pei hei. L'menatzeach livnei Korach Mizmor. Ratzita Hashem arzecha, shavta shvut Yaakov. 1 minute. It's written shvut, but you read shvit. Interesting. Shvut, but you read Shvit, and in a minute we'll understand why. Now, this Mizmor says the Rasha here. Apsukim alef adei mehavim kriya legeula. It's a call for the redemption mehagalut hashniya, from the second galut, which is the galut that where we are here now to still today, because the first galut was finished. So here we're talking about the galut that we are still, unfortunately, in. And vehi shoevet et bitchona, and when we look backwards and we see that God took us out of Egypt and all the miracles God did to us, that gives us the force and the power to go on and believe that the second Gula will come. And by the way, if you're already talking about it, there is this interesting mashal that talks about the way we should look at life today. Imagine to ourselves, a guy goes on a ship. The ship sinks. There is Sa'ara b'mayim, a storm in the water, high waves. He finds a small piece of wood from the ship and he holds it. And the waves are going 4 meter high. Now, if I tell you this guy is swimming in the water for a week, would you believe me? Maybe. Who knows? If I'll tell you that he is surrounded by those black triangles, sharks, and he's swimming there for a month, would you believe me?
Hardly.
It will be a miracle.
Yeah.
Now, if I'll tell you that for 70 years he's doing it, and he's still alive, would you believe me?
No.
Eretz Israel is the small country surrounded with sharks all around, wanting to kill us. And logically, they could kill us in 2 minutes. But we are still swimming and we are still here. And this is the biggest miracle ever. And it's in front of our eyes every day. So who looks at this and doesn't believe in God? Who looks at this and doesn't believe in Am Yisrael? A small fact. So this gives us the power to believe. Now he's talking about Shavta, Shvut, but he calls it Shvit. Now, what is Shvut and what is Shvit? What is the difference? So we have what we say, take a captive, a Shavui, and there is captivity, Shivya, which is a general name for everybody who is in captive. Now he says, from one point, there is this general looking about the Geula. But we are, it's a very nice idea, we all want it. But at the end of the day, we all want our personal Geula. We want to be saved now. We want to believe now. We want power now. We cannot live for this Geula, and we want to survive now. So in other words, in the Galut, there is a small Geula. There is a Geula that happens every day to us, when we pray to God. In the next Mizmor, says the Rashar Hish, explains, Tfilah le David, He talks about praying. Now, what is praying? What is really praying?
Bakasha.
Any other ideas?
Connecting to God.
Connecting to God. You're right and you're right. It is a bakasha. But the idea is, what do I want when I pray? Do I want God to give me what I mevakesh, what I ask for? Or, says the Rasha Arhish, says David HaMelech, praying and feeling the connection with God is already answering for my prayers. If I feel that my Father in heaven listens to me, and He loves me, and He is the Almighty, He does everything. There is nothing in this world that He is not doing. In other words, if my Father in heaven loves me so much, and He is the one who does everything, so what do you think? What is He doing to us? Is it good or bad?
Good.
Of course. It must be good. Now, if I pray to God, and I feel that Father in heaven listens to me, Baruch Hashem, I am already in the right way. I am connected. So the tefillah is really, first of all, a connection with God. God doesn't need our prayers. Well, doesn't God know what we want? So why do we have to stand and take the words out of our mouth? We'll stand and say, and God listens, yeah? What's the problem? What's the problem? By the way, the Kuzari talks about it. The problem is very simple. Because as human beings, we have to get into action in order to connect or to do anything. In other words, if I'll stand like this, do I feel a connection? Very hard. Very hard. But if I do something, if I pray, if I talk to God, I feel the connection. God knows what we want. But still, we have to pray. Because praying is connecting us to God. And when we connect to God, this is exactly what we have to do. So in other words, when I'm praying on Geula in Tfilat Shmone Esre, Tfilat HaAmida, I'm really praying for the Geula now. Of course, the general idea is there. But I'm not praying only for the general idea. I'm praying for now, today. And that's what he's saying here. Shavta Shvut Yaakov is the general thing. But what do I really take out of my mouth? Shvit Yaakov. Nasata Avon Amecha Kisita Kol Chatatam Sela. Says the Rasha Hirsh, Haleolam Omnam lo kavata moed lekets galuteinu. What's going to go forever? You're not going to end it one day? Of course you are. Because there is a certain reason that you're doing what you're doing. And the idea is that if we do the right things, and if the world will come to the right moment, the Geula will come. But we are asking, when? And we have the right to ask. It's no problem. Ulam, bevadai en kavanatcha shtimashech leolam. Surely you don't want it to go on forever. Halo, iftachta lahakim otanu letchiyah. You promised to revive us and to be successful, succeed, and go up above everything. Veimken, areenu, do it. Aseh she'anachnu doreinu ze, do it at our generation now. Niyemu usharim, we'll be the happy ones. And will have the right, the schut, the merit to see the Geula in our eyes. Or to see how your love, to feel your love. Haleolam te'enaf banu, says the Mizmor. Timshoch apcha ledor ador, alo ata tashuv techayenu, you will come back and revive us. You know, the beautiful thing about the Purush of the Rasha Hirsch, that suddenly all the psukim of the Tehillim look different. Because a lot of times we read the psukim and we don't even know what they mean. Sometimes we know the explanation of the words, but we don't really understand what is David HaMelech saying. And when the Rasha hears, puts it in his beautiful explanation, suddenly the word comes to life. And you understand and realize what it's all about. Alo ata tashuv techayenu. You are going to revive us. Ve'amcha yismechu bach. And we will be happy with you. Show it to us. We want to feel it. We want to see it. Eshme'a ma yedaber ha'el. I want to listen and hear what the God is telling me. Ki yedaber shalom le'amo. Because you took peace. You talk peace to your people. Ve'el chasida ve'al yashuv lechisla. What is chisla? Chisla is also a very interesting word. What you know, kesel, is if you do something that is not reasonable. In other words, part of our mitzvahs, if people from the out look them, like you put the boxes on your head, and your what do people think? This guy is a mishigana. Then you have this box on the door, another mishigas. And then one week a year, you don't eat bread. The whole year you eat bread, and then you do special diet. You don't eat bread, you eat matzah. There are a lot of strange things that we do. And people look at us, and by the way, it's not the only thing. Even what is for us logical, for the goyim is not so logical. For example, ribit, taking interest. You are not allowed to give a loan. Parashat Shavua Shavra, im kesef talveh etami. If somebody comes to you and wants you to give him a loan, it's not an opportunity. Im, like, if I want, I'll give. If I don't want to give, no. What the Torah is telling you, im says, orachayim akadosh, when it happens and you have enough money, you have to give him a loan. In other words, if you haven't got, you haven't got. But if you have, you have to help your fellow brother. You have to help him. You give him. And when you give him, you're not going to stand on him, give it to me back, give it to me back. I always remember my father, Alav Shalom, told me, when they started the business, they needed money. And they had this relative, a very rich relative, in Petach Tikva. He had property in Switzerland, in Germany, and in Petach Tikva. And my father, was his cousin. Who do you go when you want somebody to help you? We went to his cousin. We asked him, give me a loan. He gave. But every day, he was going near our shop. No? My father just went back. Two days ago, he gave him the loan. No? Week after week. No? You know what my father did? He went to a friend, not a relation, not a relative, to a friend, ask him for a loan and pay back to his relative and says, here is your money. I don't want anything from you anymore. Finished. But that's life. Says the Torah, im kesef talveh etami lo tie elokei noshe. You shouldn't stand on him. You should think what? If I give a loan to a Jew, I have to think, you know what? This is tzedakah. And that's the best way of giving tzedakah. If he gives it back, Baruch Hashem. If he doesn't, also Baruch Hashem. I did a great mitzvah. Now, this is the greatest mitzvah you can do. Now, who gave you the money? Just believing. If you believe that God gave you the money, what's the problem? If you have more, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it means that God gave it to you to give to him. Im kesef talveh etami, lo tie elokei noshe. You shouldn't ask for the money back. If he give it to you, Baruch Hashem. Now, when we understand that that's exactly what we have to do. So goyim look at us and says, one minute, not taking interest? It's stupid. What? It's logical. And by the way, if we also think that, like you go to the bank, you take a loan, what do you think? You have to pay the same amount of money? You have to pay interest. Now, what's not logical here? I'm asking you, do you think it's not logical? If I give somebody a loan, he uses my money. Why shouldn't I ask for interest? Why not? Jews, by the way, for many, many years, that's not their job. They were loaning money to the goy. Also to the Jews. I'm not going to go into it. But the truth is, the Torah tells you not. So the goyim look at you and says, this guy is stupid. He's got money, gives it away for free. Why? But that's the Torah. That's the way we look at it. But not the goy. So in other words, when we understand and realize that our Ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneim, says the parasha before, the Mishpatim that you put in front of Am Yisrael, they are different. Because one of the biggest questions is, because the Mishpatim in last week parasha, they are all normal Mishpatim. They are not, as we said, mezuzah and tefillin. Normal things between each other. What's so different between those laws to the laws of the goyim? But the Torah tells you, you're not allowed to go to the law of the Goyim. You have to go to your own law, because now we see, we understand. And it's, Rotzeach is also the same. Murder is also the same thing. They're all different laws, even if they look alike. So people look at us, and that's what they say, like Salim, Schalim in Hebrew. Like we are stupid, we're doing so many stupid things. But there will come the day that we'll realize and understand that all the things we did, they are not stupid, they are very clever. Because you don't realize what it's all about and how the world functions. And by the way, talking about how the world functions, there are a lot of things that we don't see, but they happen. For example, one of the things is, the environment, says the Rambam, has an influence on a person. If you live in a bad environment, why? Because he will have an influence on you. Do you see the influence? Do you see it?
Not at the time it's happening.
But you feel it.
Yes.
And of course, and eventually, it will have an influence on you. Now, it's like, if we want to see it in nature, because one of the interesting things is, and that we learn from our parsha, the Mishkan was built the same way as the Mikdash, and it really symbolizes the way that human being is built, and the way the whole world is built, and the way that the next world is built. What do I mean? If we look at the places of our organs, and we understand what they do, how they function, we will see the same thing in Beit HaMikdash. The place of the Shulchan, of the table, the place of the Mizbeach, the place of the Kiyor. I'm not going into the explanation right now, but if you look into it, you will realize that that's exactly how we function. In other words, if I want to know on the spiritual world, I will see it in the physical world. If I want to know how spiritually I function, I can look how things in normal nature are functioning. For example, as we said now, influence of a bad environment. You remember the disaster in Chernobyl? Chernobyl what happened? Radiation. Do you see radiation? Does it have an influence? Of course. They closed, shut down, they sent people away from, I don't remember how many kilometers it was, but miles on miles it was. And they say that till today, there is still radiation in the area. In other words, you don't see it, but it's there. And the same way is in the spiritual world. If you are in a bad environment, the influence is there in the air. You don't sometimes understand it. And you don't say, why do I have this to do this certain mitzvah? And you have to understand and realize God doesn't give us mitzvahs that got no reason. We say we have laws that got no reason, but it's, sorry to say, if you really think like this, it's a very low level of thinking. Because God, the Almighty, that loves us so much, our Father in heaven, do you think He's going to give us something that's got no reason? Of course, but we don't know the reason. The same way as you go to the pharmacy and you need a certain medicine and he has to mix a few things in order to give you the cure. If he mixes sometimes a small dose of something more, you can die. Instead of medicine, it's poison. But I understand this. So why don't you understand that the mitzvahs that you get are also the same thing? Every act you do is got an influence on the whole environment. We don't feel it. We don't see it. But it happens. But the Goyim look at us and says, this is stupid, because they don't understand it. But will come the day that they will understand. Karov hazman, he says. Ach karov liriav yishol yishkod kavod ba'arzein. And now comes this beautiful sentence. Chesed ve'emet nifgashu, tzedek ve'shalom nashaku. In other words, justice and peace have met, grace and truth have met, and justice and peace have kissed. Do you hear? Do you understand what it means? We read it. This is a mizmor that sometimes we read. Do we answer? What's going on? חסד באמת נפגשו, צדק ושלום נשק, וואלה, beautiful story. Kisses, meeting, unbelievable. What does it mean? Says the Rashi Hirsch. Unbelievable. בימינו, in our days, דרכיהן של החסד והאמת שונות. The ways of grace and truth are different. What does it mean? החסד מיטיב, האמת מחיבה. Grace does good, truth hurts. אשר הירש. What does it mean? העושה מעשי חסד מכובד על הבריות ויש לו דורשים. The one who's doing grace, doing chesed to people, people love him. True or not?
Yes.
True or not?
True.
True. יפה. Let's see now what's happened with the truth. But somebody stands on the truth. Do we love him always?
No.
In other words, if we want to get the right thing, we have to make grace and truth meet. Says the Rashi Hirsch. Chesed mechubad al habriyot ve'yesh lo dorshim. Hametzadeh bizchut ha'emet, those who stand on the truth. בדיבור או במעשה, talking about it, or acting accordingly, נרדף וסובל מחסור. People chase him. And he is on the side. We don't want to know about him. He's telling us the truth. It's the same way as this guy lives in a village, far away, doesn't know what is a cinema, what is a movie. He comes to town, and his friend takes him to cinema. Suddenly all the light turn off, and he sees the screen and things moving on the screen. And he thinks to himself, what's going on here? Why do they sit in the dark? If there will be light, they will see much better the screen. All those people moving on the screen. The next day he comes to the movie, but this time he comes with a big torch. The minute that the light goes off, and the screen starts, the movie, all the figures starting moving, he turns off this projector, on the screen, what happens?
Can't see
anything. And everybody is shouting, turn off the light, turn off the light. That's what's happening to us, I'm sorry to tell you. We live in a movie. We see the screen sitting in the dark. But the minute that somebody comes and puts the light on, we say, leave us, we're enjoying our life. What do you want from us? We have nice life, we eat well. We party. What do you want from us? Light, the light of the Torah, the light of justice, the light of truth. We don't want to see. Turn off the light. And how true it is. But the real thing is that this world is a movie. Nothing more. There was this big competition between painters. And they brought paintings, unbelievable. One, each one better from the other. At the end of the hall, there was this guy, he painted a field with a girl, with flowers, and even, you know, the beans came from the window, tried to go on the flower. Unbelievable. Everybody looked at it. This is a picture. There was one left. It was on the other hand. And there was a screen on his picture. And they ask him, no, let us see your picture. He says, sorry, after this picture? I lost. I'm not going to. He says, what do you mean? You came to the competition? You have to show us the picture. We don't care. You'll show us the picture. He says, sorry, I'm not going to do it. So one of the critics went to the picture and wanted to move the screen. But it was no screen. It was the painting. It was so real. So real that he wanted to move the screen. Now this is a painting. God say, "En tzayar ke Hashem Elokeinu." There is not a painter like our God. What's the difference? A painter can paint a nice picture, but it's one dimension. God makes a picture with four dimensions that moves and does and breathes and thinks. And we are in this picture. So if you think this is real, this is a picture of God. It looks real. It feels real. And we think that's the world. But that's not the word. That's only a passageway. That's a picture. Ki en tzayar k'Hashem Elokeinu. There's no painter like God. And God painting this picture because He wants us to do something. We have to go through this world, as Misilat Yesharim said. We came to this world in order to prepare ourselves to the next world. This is the true world. Same in the movie. The movie is a movie. When you turn the light, there is no movie. So, that's the truth. But we not always want to hear the truth. Because the truth sometimes hurts. The truth means I have to change things. That's why, by the way, one of the reasons that the world hates us. Because we are the truth. And they don't like the truth. They want to go on in life as they used to. So, chesed ve'emet nifgashu. Rak ka'asher yagiu bnei adam liklal hakara. Only when people will come to the knowledge. Ki ma'aseh ha'chesed ha'elyon. That the true grace, that the true mercy is the connection between the truth and the grace and the mercy and the chesed. Whatever. Now it's very interesting, if you're already talking about it. We say every day, 13 midot rachamim. You know what 13 midot rachamim is? Everybody knows? Okay. What is it? Hashem, Hashem, Hashem Hashem, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Verav, Chesed, Ve'emet. What is Emet? What is it? Can you explain to me what Chesed is in Emet? Can you? Is got anybody here an idea what is Chesed in Emet? How can Emet be one of the Shloshes? We say it every day. Every day people say it. No, you tell me. What do you say? What's the meaning of it? You know what the meaning of it? What says the pasuk here? Says the Rav Pinkus Zatzal. He explains, by the way, the Shlosh Remidot in a very nice way. And he says, you know what Emet is? The Emes is that everybody is enjoying what God is giving. And everything here in this world, even if it doesn't look so good, it is good. And that's the truth. But we don't see it. So, from His mercy, what is God doing? Every once in a while, He puts on us, drops of truth. And those drops of truth are one of the Shloshes Remidot Rachamim. Because when you understand and realize that all the bad things you think that happened to you are not bad, they are really good. Is there more Rachamim than this? That's why Emet is one of the Midot Rachamim. That's the truth. Chesed ve'emet nifgashu. You have to make a meeting between them. They have to meet together. Tzedek eino ela agshamata shel ha'emet. Justice is a realization of truth. That's what it is. Think about it. Beautiful. And when chesed ve'emet nifgashu, when they meet, what's the next stage? Tzedek ve'shalom nashaku. Justice and peace have kissed. What does it mean? גם האידיאל של פעולות האדם בארץ, the ideal of what man is doing on earth, with the ideal of the success of man in his world, human being, הצדק הוא ערבו ומבשרו של הישע. Justice is what it is all about. That's already the redemption, the salvation. That's what it's all about. And now, very nice, we understand. Grace and truth have to meet, and then justice and peace are going to kiss. How do we do it? It's a very nice idea. But it sounds like, how do you say utopia? This is not something real. It's something you talk about. A high ideal that you never get to it. Says David HaMelech, Emet me'eretz titzmach, ve'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. You tell me, how many times did you read this Perek Tehillim? It's unbelievable. Emet me'eretz titzmach. Truth, how do you say, springs from earth, grows from earth. And the divine justice is overlooking to you from heaven. Unbelievable. It's a beautiful passage. Emet me'eretz titzmach, ve'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. Okay? What's the explanation? Ma adavar she'aleinu l'tzapot lo. What is our expectation? What do we expect? Lo ha'shamayim ha'aleinu la'abit. Not looking to heaven, ela arza, looking to earth. Im birtzoneinu lid'og levo ha'yesh ha'mekuveh. If we want really to come to the right moment, to the achrit ha'yamim, to the geula, we should look here. Here we are. Don't look to heaven, look at earth. Tchila, first of all, chayavim anu, bnei ha'adam. First of all, our duty as human beings is to come, לבוא לכלל התבוננות נכונה. Looking and observe things in the right way. הכרת האמת והרצתה, knowing what is truth, and admiring it, חייבת לצמוח מן הארץ, has to come from earth. Or, he says, or, how חזל said it. The קדוש ברוך הוא, השליך את האמת ארצה, על מנת שתצמח ממנה. The קדוש ברוך הוא, throw truth into earth, in order that it will grow from there. עד העת הזאת, צדק משמיים נשקף. הצדק אשר בו תלוי הישע, נשקף מן השמיים. Now, justice is looking from up there, waiting for us to pick up the truth. And let it grow. And when it grows, that justice will come. And we'll see the whole world understanding what it's all about. They will stop the hatred to us. They will all love us and love God. But it's only if we work on the aims. What is Emet? Emet is the Torah. So in order for us to bring truth, to bring justice down to earth, we have to work on our truth. What is the truth? And then, Gam Hashem Yiten HaTov, וארצנו תיתן יבולה. Unbelievable. If we do this, God will give us the good, and our land will prosper and give us all what we need. צדק לפניו יעלך ויישם לדרך פעמיו. And that's also an unbelievable sentence. צדק, justice, will walk in front and will put our steps on the right way. A beautiful mizmor, and I think that the explanation is also an unbelievable, beautiful explanation. There is a lot, when we look into the explanation of the Rashar Hirsch in Tehillim, there's a lot to learn. For example, with this we're going to finish this part on Tehillim. When I look at the next mizmor, Tfilah le David, that we explained that the Tfilah is really the connection with God, and not expecting for an answer, because the answer is really the feeling that I'm connected. He says another interesting thing. I want to find it. In Pasuk Tet of Perek Pei Vav, Kol goyim asher asita yavou v'ishtachavu lefanecha. All the goyim, everybody, will come and will bow in front of you, God, and will honor your name. V'yichabdu shemecha, lishmecha. Ki gadol ata v'oseh niflot ata elokim levadecha. Everybody was created in the image of God. All human beings. If anybody here thinks that the Jews are above everybody and all the others are just rubbish, it's a stupid way of thinking. We are the messengers. That's what we are. The problem is that the world wants to kill the messenger. And when you kill the messenger, the message is not going to get to the world. But as messengers, we have first of all to understand the message and have the message prepared so we can show it to the world. Ki mitzion teitze Torah. We are or lagoyim, light for the goyim. And when the day will come, everybody, that's what we say in Alelun Shabbat, Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Everybody will come together to be with Am Yisrael, united in believing in God, worshipping God. And as I said in the beginning, if we believe and we understand that everything that God is doing is good, and we look around and see how the world is functioning and how many nations try to kill and destroy Am Yisrael and none
succeeded.
None of them. This gives us the power to go on. This gives us the understanding that not only we're not alone, we are with the Almighty, and He is looking after us, even if we're still in, let's say, in the diaspora, in the galut. And by the way, just to really finish it, this part in a nice way, let's look around. We normally like to talk about all the bad things. But do you know that Israel has got such a good influence on the whole world? The world ignores it. Like I got this WhatsApp the other day when they decided not to buy this and not to buy that, boycott. The whole thing, it says, okay, when you go to the supermarket, you ask to do the bill with writing. Why? Because the till, is the software is made by the Israeli firm. And when you go in the car, by the way, there's also some problems because opening a computer, Intel, all the things inside are made where? In Israel. Agriculture. The whole world is using our system, the taftafot, the dropping, in order to grow things in the best way. And this is, by the way, only a small thing. This is all us doing here in Eretz Israel. So you understand that from one side we look at the big miracle, and from the other side we look at the tools we have. We have it in ourselves. We have the power to change. We have the power to do everything. We just have to put things, as we said, in action. As we pray, we have to put it in action to connect. When we connect, we do all the good stuff. Okay. This is the part of Tehillim. And now we will go to a little Parashat Shavua.